Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Are you ready for the Big Arc review? I have tasted the burger, and I've even bought an extra sample to bring you tonight so we can dissect it. How have you guys been doing on the regular chat? Sorry for the late start. I had some technical stuff to replace on my computer. And we have a debate coming, the debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris will be in 1 hour from now. I didn't even know. It was not my intent to describe it live, but we can move to it at 8 p.m. Eastern time and check what is being said. I'm not super excited about this debate, let me tell you. It's one of these debates where Trump will try to play the Democrat moderate. Oh, so it's 9 p.m. Eastern time? I thought it was 8. Well, they say 8, but that's the start of the program or whatever. So maybe we won't even catch the beginning of it. But it's one of these debates where Trump will try to be moderate, Kamala will try to be a Republican, and it's going to be like all about deception. Deception of the voter base. And that's not how you can improve a society. There used to be presidential elections where we had something in the balance. 2016 was one of them. But there's nothing in the balance of the current election other than who gets power, and it won't change the world. Dino Rogovich says, I really am angry now. I hate breakfast, the power of suggestion. Well, here I'm following live the NBC News live stream on the upcoming 2024 debate. Oh yeah, 2 hours left before the debate begins, so we probably will not catch it live. So yeah, today I went to McDonald's. I know that Nick Fuentes is a fan of McDonald's, and he didn't hesitate to reply to my tweet. He said, can't wait. Are you ready for the Big Arc? I took a picture of the Big Arc that I ate there. Well, it's definitely not looking as good as on the advertisement. The advertisement gives you an impression of a truly filled burger. Here you can see in the way it was delivered to me at the restaurant itself. I just took it out of the package. The burgers are kind of misaligned. The bread is perhaps a little too big. And when you start eating it, the bread is kind of invasive, and it's kind of too big for its own good. But so you end up at the end of it, you end up with just bread. I mean, look at the space here left. I know that the burgers are miscentered, but this space is really annoying when you get to eat it. You'd rather not have that bread at all. John Drake says, "How much is this thing?" I don't know. Perhaps the price of a Big Mac or a little higher price. I haven't looked at the price. McDonald's is so expensive now, says Rody Lacid, that when you go, you have to use it on stream and make sure it is tax deductible. That's exactly what I'm doing. Because when the federal police was after me for investigating on Mama JF, they had access to everything I was doing, because then I was a suspect of murder, and so they were looking through all my finances, and they were like, two stops at the McDonald's in this city at this time, what went on? I was like, yeah, this is me going for the McDonald's. Eating McDonald's, and then they were like, $400 of cheese. How does one buy $400 of cheese? And I was like, yeah, that's the amount of cheese I buy when I go to Quebec. So yes, but the Big Arc, it presented itself based on the advertisement as kind of a new Big Mac, or a kind of return to the Big Mac classic. It's kind of what the Big Mac should have been or may have been And it presents itself with a sauce that gave me the impression that they were keeping the Big Mac sauce. But one of the great surprises of this burger is that the sauce is not at all a Big Mac style sauce. It has the same color, but it is not at all the same type of sauce. We are talking about a sweet mustard sauce. So what you would call in fast food a honey mustard sauce, although there's no honey in it, it's a mustard and sugar sauce. I couldn't believe it. So I've brought the Big Arc here. The Big Arc comes in a corrugated cardboard container, which is a classic for McDonald's. It is one of the last fast foods that still wraps in those cardboards, which double as a fry container, and also is part of the method by which McDonald's makes its burgers, because they put the top in this and then they flip it to complete the burger. One of the last fast food that is not using thinner bags but inflated cardboard. Probably one of the price point that still makes McDonald's, pay more for the content, pay more for the wrap than the content. And at some point, there may be some economic pressure that will lead McDonald's to be forced to abandon the cardboard wrap. Dino Legovic says, I bought a whole rump last week. Oh my God, is that the burger from 10 years ago? Well, there is a whole history. One moment. There is a very long history of naming burgers Arc. So in 1996, the Arc burger came. The Arc Deluxe. We are not talking about the same type of burger at all. But the Arc Deluxe is known as one of the most, the biggest economic failings of the fast food industry. It was McDonald's trying to get back to real ingredients. And here you can see from the type of advertisement they were using for the Arc Deluxe, it was based around the freshness of the ingredient, kind of Subway style. You can see Spanish sweet onions, fresh crisp iceberg lettuce, complete leaves of lettuce, complete slices of tomatoes, bacon, classic American cheese, ketchup, extra fancy. So they were trying to sell you the idea that we're going back to burgers, to just basic burgers with good ingredients. But this was one of the most expensive campaign of McDonald's Save Their Arc Deluxe Burger. So it is known as a failure. In 1996, the Arc Deluxe Burger, and here you can see an image of it. So there's the idea of having more meat. There's the idea of having two beef patties, but the vegetable aspect has completely disappeared. So we're talking about a different beast today in the modern Big Arc. In order to expand their demographic market from children-centered and family-friendly to a broader one that includes more adult audience, McDonald's decided to create a new type of sandwich that is made particularly for adult consumers. In 1996, the Arc Deluxe Burger, each with a quarter pound of beef on a split-top potato flour sesame seed bun. So it was a potato bun, whereas we don't have a potato bun anymore. So it was a different burger, really. John Drake says, bad idea to copy Subway. Well, we'll see. Because we get this burger today. And I thought this was going to taste like a Big Mac, because you can see the slices of onions. Okay, instead of having cube onions, you have lines of onions. That should be Big Mac-like. You have the sauce that looks like a Big Mac sauce. So I thought, oh, tangy Thousand Isle taste. And then you have the thick slices of white cheese. And then you have these little crisps. We're going to have to talk about these little crisps because they are... They have appeared lately, recently, as a kind of alternative to having actual crispy onions. Because normally you would have crispy onions. But at this point, I don't taste any onion taste in those. And it's been a couple of burgers that McDonald's has been trying to get out with these crisps that are supposed to give a kind of earthy, kind of real burger feel to the thing. But it doesn't feel real at all. They don't have taste. They are merely a textural addition. And at this point, it's battered batter. It's really just... That's why they call them crisps. It has no taste. It's just batter that you've dropped in deep fried oil and it became a crisp of nothing. It became a popcorn chicken without the chicken. Very poorly advised to be putting this on burger. If you're gonna add a super flavorful aspect to them so that when you hear the crisp, when you feel that crisp, it's combined with an olfactory experience, I would be willing to try this. But out of nowhere like this, just a textural addition to a burger, it's very cheap. New guy says, those were crisps. Yes. And, you know, McDonald's, with this burger, they are trying to get to the, basically, the Burger King level because it's so sweet. It's like when you go to Burger King and you get these Roadhouse Kings and it's like barbecue-y sweet sauce. But the problem is when I look at this advertisement, I'm not explained anywhere that I should prepare for a mustard burger. Like, if you're going to feature mustard so importantly in the sauce that it's a sweet mustard sauce, why are you selling me a Big Mac without a middle bun here? Because here you have the tangy pickles right there. Large number of pickles in this burger. More than the Big Mac. So if I'm going to get a pickle that is not sweet, because these other Burger King and other fast food, they are all over the sweet because they're serving a very low IQ population. And it's like, oh yeah, oh, it tastes sweet. Oh, I don't like the taste of non-sweet pickles. And so you have to sweeten everything, including the pickle. Now, if you have sweet pickles, sweet sauce can be a good pairing if properly presented. But if you're giving me the tangy dill pickle without much of a sweet taste to them, don't combine them with a super sweet sauce. Dino Lugovich says, this photo doesn't look like your photo, Jeff. Well, we have the real burger here, so don't worry about the photos. We will start dissecting this burger. The top bun has two different grains on it, sesame and poppy seeds. Very interesting. I think it's a great addition. Gives this luxury feeling and textural addition. Kind of gives depth to the taste of the bread. This is a gigantic bread, by the way. Just to show you here. Gigantic bread. Too big, too much bread. You can see that it has some of the lettuce and sauce sticking to it. This bread should be smaller and should be adjusted to the size of the burger. Now we get a generous layer of sauce and a lot of these classical pickle from the Big Mac. They are the same pickles as you would get in a Big Mac. You get a layer of lettuce that is exactly the same lettuce as you would get in a Big Mac, so sliced in lines. So it's all starting very good, but then you have this bizarre sauce. We have to review the ingredients of it. What the fuck happened with this sauce? Big Arc Burger Sauce. So soybean oil and or canola oil. Okay, so sunbean oil. Tomato concentrate, so that gives it the reddish color. Water. Sugars. Sugars is basically the first test active ingredient. So you it's basically a filling soybean sauce filled with sugar. Now, it gives it an ultra-sweet, sweet in a way that is totally displaced for what I was expecting and what the burger looks like. I was like, oh, so they're doing like the maple bacon burger, like the Texas Southern sauce, sweet barbecue sauce, sweet Carolina sauce. They've been doing this again and again. They just put a sweet sauce, barbecue, they market it, they put some crisps, and it's like, oh, it's crispy and it's sweet. And it gives a little difference. But now you've done it with something that you've called a mainstream burger. You've named it the Big Arc. So very, very distraught that I was in response to this. Sugar being the first ingredient and then vinegar. So you barely taste any vinegar. You really have a very, very sweet, almost like it's sticky. You have a sticky taste that comes out of it. And then liquid egg yolk is to give it a consistency. Salt, mustard seed. You do taste the mustard seed very strong. So basically, it's a sauce of sugar and mustard seed. It's a sauce that resembles, in a way, the nugget dip sauce, the hot mustard sauce, but it's a little less hot. And much, much more sweet. Then we have fillers and flavors, modified cornstarch flavors, garlic powder, onions, turmeric for the color that gives a yellow Thousand Isle color, yeast for color and depth of taste, xanthan gum for structural properties, glycol alginate for this kind of algae, mushy taste and texture, yeast extract, same thing, and extractives of turmeric for a yellowish orange color. So you have an enterprise of deception here. This is a sauce that looks like the Big Mac sauce, but that is basically disguised sugar. Very, very disappointing that McDonald's would have gone for this. And finally, you have the beef. Let's see if I can slice a part of the beef. You have two thick 1/4 pound patties of beef. They taste good, just like the double 1/4 pound in McDo. You know, when you want to have that meat taste, you order a double 1/4 pound, and so it really tastes meat. But add the sweet sauce, it dominates too much. And so you end up still with a very satisfying quantity of meat, but it's kind of poorly wrapped. So unfortunately, I cannot give my approval to the Big Arc. I believe that McDonald's has committed a mistake here. And as far as the cheese, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be like an A&W experience where a thick layer of cheese, I'm gonna feel it. You know, you enjoy the cheese when you eat a Big Mac, don't you? Here's the problem. Cheese has become, for fast food, the great cost, the bottleneck cost that ultimately determines the price of a burger. Cheese is just too costly. It's just too much processing. And even processed cheese is too costly. So when you cut the prices on a burger, cutting the cheese is the easiest thing. And here, the problem is they have inflated the burger by giving them the greatest patties they have, the 1/4 pound. But they have kept a Big Mac-sized quantity of cheese. So you end up tasting the cheese absolutely not at all. So I don't, you know, biting through 3 layers of cheese, I cannot tell you what this white cheese tastes because the meat and the sauce are too dominant. You don't get to taste the cheese. In fact, you get to kind of miss this feeling of a Big Mac where when you dig through a Big Mac, it's kind of biting into a salad. There's lots of lettuce, lots of vegetable, and you feel this fatty cheese come into your mouth, you know, in crumbles. Now, you don't get this in this burger because the beef is too present, the sauce is too present, and yet you don't have the satisfying experience of having eaten a real burger. So it's a very poorly placed burger. It presents itself as something that it's not, and it fails at being something that it could have been, but that they haven't marketed around. They should have went more tangy, less sweet, and accept that the low IQ crowds are going to heed toward Burger King to get their sweet barbecue Roadhouse King. You're never going to imitate it. Anyways, McDo is stuck with all these competitors. McDo is stuck in a very bad place because they can't really fire grill. And so when you get to Harvey's, you get a good burger because the beef has been passing under a flame. McDo is stuck with these apparatus of meat cooking on, you know, on a plate. And so on a plate, you're never going to get the fire feeling. You're never going to get that satisfying burnt meat effect. And so if you don't have it, you're not going to outcompete any of the alternatives that can grill burger better, like Harvey's. So abandon this section and be the tangy burger, you know, be the Big Mac. I would have loved if Arc Deluxe was just a retake on the Big Mac, but it's not. John Drake says, I bought a frozen pizza recently that I used to like before I went keto. The cheese was like thin plastic. I couldn't believe it. Oh yeah, they will find all sorts of replacement products for cheese. Well, Dino Legovic says, was it worth the money? It was not worth in the sense of throwing me into abdication and kneeling to McDonald's as a god. But I'm not unhappy. I've eaten a burger. They've delivered a burger. It's still one of the lowest price burger you can buy in Canada. So. Of course, you can't not be satisfied in that sense. I'm not satisfied because I would have dreamed of more. So when you look at the total of ingredients, you have salt, pepper, and sunflower oil on the patty. You have cucumbers in distilled vinegar and calcium chloride for the dill pickle. You have slivered onions, fresh onions. Now, they say that the crisp are crispy onions. Let me tell you, there's not much onion taste coming out of it. So it's mostly batter, I suspect. Enriched wheat flour, safflower, sunflower, or canola oil and salt. So those would be the crispy onions. Shredded iceberg lettuce is always of good quality. I always enjoy it at McDo. The white processed cheese, of course. The burger sauce is what truly, I can't believe it, guys. I can't believe it. I'm astonished. It's a sugary mustard sauce. Like, call it the mustard burger and say, oh, our food engineers at McDonald's have been reworking on a French classic, the French Dijon mustard sweet Big Mac. Oh, I want some of that, but no, they say it's the Big Arc, and so I expect something super American, and yet you put me some mustard, like in a sugary sauce. I was not ready. Rodid Acid says, Jeff, if you make your own burger at home that is a little special, what do you add or recipe? I like to put great tzatziki on a cheeseburger. Takes a burger to the next level. Oh, it's very good. I would love the tzatziki idea. I don't think I've ever done it on a burger, but I think it's a great idea. I've been doing all sorts of experimentations at home with burgers. You know, perhaps the best thing I've done is to take a thick slice of a high-quality blue cheese. Like a block of blue cheese, and you put the block of blue cheese over the burger. These days, I eat burger almost every day because I just bought a large section of a beef from my farmer neighbor, and so I have a lot of beef to pass. So I eat basically one burger every day. And these days, what I do is simply jalapeno at the bottom, patty over the jalapeno. So these, you know, these pickled jalapeno peppers. It makes it very easy because on the everyday, I'm looking at a solution for food that will produce food very quick. So I want to get to my burger in about 1 minute. So I put the patty in the microwave, put the buns in the toaster. I get the jalapeno peppers out. And then I do relish, mustard, and ketchup. And I put a slice of cheese, 10 more seconds in the microwave, assemble the burger. In 1 minute 30, I have a full meal prepared. That is what I like to do when I want to dedicate a lot of time to programming and hanging out on the internet. I don't want to think too much about my preparation of food. I think I found why I'm black-pilled. I think I found what causes this feeling. It's not politics, black-pill. I believe I am feeling the blues of love because my girlfriend had to go a couple of weeks ago. So I've been separated from my girlfriend. And I think it's why I'm so depressed. And I told you guys, for all of the month of September, don't expect much from this show. I am like, I feel like cognitively not there. But today I realize it's probably just that I miss my girlfriend. My girlfriend was such a pleasure to live with. She's going to come back in a few weeks, so she had to travel for family stuff. So I can't wait for her to come back. But that's probably why in the end I'm depressed, is that life isn't worth living anymore without my Juliet beside me, without my love. So please bear with me if the show sucks. Maybe it sucks. Maybe the show will suck for the next 20 days. Like all of September, I'm down and I'm not feeling it. But it's because I have been deprived of my girlfriend. Dino Rogovic says, I can't afford a burger, but one of us will eat tonight, JF. All right, well, thanks for the super chat. I will go immediately buy a burger with your super chat money. So they say that the patty is 100% per beef. So that's one thing that McDonald's has been insisting on its ingredient list because there were rumors that the McDo patties are just filled with flowers and fillers and anti-vomit stuff. People have been releasing all sorts of myths and legends around McDo, but they have been saying for a long time now that their patty is full beef. That is all that it is. I do believe that they are correct on this. Oh yeah, and one aspect that I forgot to dissect are these crispy onions. So I thought they were just per crisp. They say they are onions, but the onions play such a little role in this that it's purely a textural additive. I would want, if you're going to go mustard, if you're going to go Frenchy burger, I would want these crisps to release some flavor. Why is it not releasing some fresh cilantro, sage flavor? It's just tasteless. So what the fuck is the point of coming with a new burger every 2 months? That is just a new sweet sauce with the new crisp that are the exact same crisp as before. And really, you are in the space of per marketing here, a per marketing error. Because this burger, I enjoyed it to some extent. But I was just too unsettled by what they did. I was not presented with the chance to consent to a mustard sauce. Ty says, frankly, I would take away their Michelin star for this. Yes. I think I'm going to downgrade McDo from 5-star Michelin to 4 stars. I am afraid that I cannot forgive this most grave attack. Black Tie says, the flavor has been extracted for us with a different product. They gain 1 cent more profit by doing this. Well, you know, in the end, your burger has to taste good. So finally, for the bun itself, enriched flour, water, sugars, yeast, canola oil. So just a basic bread, nothing special about it, but the poppy seeds and sesame seed. And vegetable protein for, I'm guessing, structural aspects of the bread. Cornstarch, vinegar. All right. So that is it for my review of the Big Arc. I give it a 9 out of 10 for the quality of the burger with respect to the price. But a 4 out of 10 for the marketing around the burger. Very poorly done. Extremely erroneous for McDo. It seems like they can't get out of this black hole of bad luck in marketing that they have around the Arc. The Arc is like their Achilles heel. Dino Lugovich says 9. Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can't complain with the lowest price burger. Where can you get 2 big patties of beef? I mean, even if they had just put these 2 patties of beef on a plate, I'd be happy. I would get some good meat. So it's like everything that's around it is kind of a failure of conceptualization. But it's you can't complain. They didn't charge me $100 for this burger. They charged me the lowest price that you can pay in Canada for a burger. Something strange is happening in Springfield, Ohio. There are basically migrants just arriving in that specific town for some reason.
Prepared for, but thanks to the federal government, Springfield locals now feel like total strangers in their hometowns.
I'm done with what I'm seeing. It is so unsafe in my neighborhood anymore. I have the homeless that were trying to camp out, and I have made concessions with them, and I try to help them the best I can to keep them from trying to squat on my property. But it is so unsafe. I have men that cannot speak English in my front yard screaming at me, throwing mattresses in my front yard, throwing trash in my front yard. And I can't. Look at me. I weigh 95 pounds. I couldn't defend myself if I had to. My husband is elderly. And last night, after living in this home for 45 years, he said, Noelle, guess what? It's time to pack up and move. He said, we can't do this anymore. He said, it's killing both of us mentally. I don't understand what you expect of us as citizens. I mean,
Yeah, it's what you're going to get. It is what happens in an invasion. So your house will be worth nothing because they're going to have ruined your local town. You're going to be forced to leave while selling your house at ridiculously low prices. And everything that you've worked for and built is meant nothing if you can't sustain the demographic stability around your real estate market. So you're going to have to flee, and you're going to have to flee at your own loss, because you're going to have to buy a house in which the invasion hasn't yet arrived and sell a house in which the invasion has arrived. So think ahead. Think ahead if you want to do this. Candace responds to Nick Fuentes, but it's all talking past each other. I'm not super happy about this response, because she's fighting strawman. She's like, oh, well, Nick says that I learned from him and that I got red-pilled after him. The thing is, this was a side comment by Nick. It's not important, but she presents it as if Nick was accusing her of plagiarizing and of watching his show It's not really what Nick was saying. I saw this show by Nick. He was saying, look, she's been red-pilled recently, and at least what I could expect from her is some sort of recognition of the people who have more experience than her with these talking points. And now, in fact, we learned that he was right that she lacks experience, because she's put herself now under a ban from YouTube. She's been temporarily suspended. She's been demonetized because they came with a wave of 3 or 4 strikes all at the same time, exactly as they always do. So Nick was absolutely right to specify, hey, this is a newcomer in those talking points. She's been shutting up about this as long as she was fed by the Jewish side. And all of a sudden she starts talking about it. It was not in the sense of saying she owes something to Nick Fuentes. That's not what Nick was saying. I've watched the context in which he was saying these things. It was to point out that she may benefit from the wisdom of other thinkers that came before her. And then she complains that Nick says he has dirt on her. Again, I've watched the context of this statement by Nick. He said, oh, I have dirt on her, but oh, maybe a lot of people have dirt on her, and it's not really dirt. And it was clear by what Nick was saying, it's not like deep dirt. It's not dirt like she has a secret porno tape or whatever. That it was just something. It was clear that Nick was saying there's something that annoys me in her whole story. And I think it's totally fair, and Nick didn't overpresent it as being dirt. He presented it as being, oh, I don't know if I could talk about this, but I'd like to talk about this. And he did raise some doubts around her whole come-up story. How is it that she basically married someone in the Catholic aristocracy all of a sudden in some sort of arranged marriage setup? And so she doesn't respond really fairly because she misrepresents the context in which Nick Fuentes has been saying these things. And ultimately, the point is not you are forced to talk to Nick Fuentes. The point is we're interested to know whether our cultural leaders, our public thinkers, are open-minded and are willing to get to the source and are willing to engage, or whether they are on the side of dehumanization and on the side of lying and standing beside lies that are being told about people and standing beside the dehumanization and the rejection from society that your ex-employers, Candace, have been organizing. It's totally fair to ask, on which side are you? Are you on the side that will speak to a Nick Fuentes, or are you on the side that will have a list of persons that they never invite? And it seems that if there were any reason, and that's what, according to what Candace has been saying, the reason for her not to invite Nick is Nick was banned from YouTube. Well, good news, Candace, you're now banned from YouTube too. So you're persona non grata on YouTube. She has started on Rumble now. It was about time that she started a parallel career like this, because ultimately, what I was saying about censorship yesterday on Twitter, censorship will always come for you intentionally. It's not like you've stepped on a random way of phrasing that happened to be perceived as bad. Censorship is very targeted, very focused, and very intentional. It's not about racism or sexism. It's about racism if it's against the Jew, sexism if it's against the woman. There's always a sense to it. And when you get engaged in these talking points that Candace has been engaging with, censorship will come for you. It's not about... People seem to think, these rising stars, they seem to think that there's going to be a way to phrase it that will escape censorship. Only temporarily will you find ways to phrase it. Eventually, the censorship regime will come for you, because it's not censorship based on violation of the stated rules. The real rule that they're enforcing is you do not talk against the Jews in a collective manner. That's what it is. You can talk against whites in a collective manner. You can't do that with Jews. And as long as these rules are in place, and they are presenting a rule that is not racially biased, they say they will pursue any claims of racism. But that's not what they do. John Drake says she first got popular going on InfoWars. From what I remember, once she was the belly of the ball, she wouldn't talk to Alex Jones. I don't like people that forget old friends. Oh yeah, man. Women are incapable of loyalty. It's like, it's simple. Like, look at how I will always speak to Richard Spencer. We get along wonderfully. I consider him a friend. I wouldn't see myself, even if I was to become bigger in some form, in any way. There is no way in which I kind of try to leave him behind or kind of deny our association. No, he's a friend forever, and that's how you build a true, solid social network. But when you're this kind of arrivist that just scales the ladder of the social world and steps over the head of others, it's really bad. And I'm going to say it again because I raised this theory, but I'm more convinced than ever. I think Candace Owens isn't black. I don't think she's black. I think she's Indian. Now, it's very easy for an Indian that basically already has the tanning level of an African. If you just choose your makeup in the right direction, you're going to look very African-American. But on the basis that she is thin, she has kind of Aryan beauty to her, she is also high intelligence and highly technical in her understanding of the world, and there's no clear story about where she comes from. I think she comes from India. I think this girl was eating naan bread as a teenager. Prove me wrong. I'm just saying it like I see it. Monkeypox says, no, but I bet the work I did influenced who you are at some point in your life. You mean your work as Monkeypox? I guess that monkeypox influences us in many different ways. So now Candace is developing her parallel platforms. Here she is republishing the interview with Kanye West. Yay. because she says she was mass reported by Awesome Jew. I don't think she's pointing to the right person here. I think she means... because Thomas Crockett is another account, but there's the guy named the Awesome Jew who has been behind, apparently, or at least it's claimed or believed by Lucas Gage that he was under the mass reporting of his account. So Candace Owens now going against Awesome Jew. Monkeypox says, how would you know? You wouldn't. That's kind of the idea. Okay, so monkeypox penetrates our lives in a way that is unknown. It's a subversive force. It's good to have the virus in the regular chat so that we can speak with him. How is life, monkeypox? How do you live on the everyday? Do you enjoy the fact that you're mostly spreading in the homosexual community? I mean, you rarely get to see any pussy, right? I mean, I'm not saying it to dunk on your head here, but between you and I, you've seen a lot of male ass in your life, right? Peter Ag says SpaceX can't fly Starship until November at least. This is nuts. How are 60-month delays to satisfy these requirements even remotely justifiable? So, yeah, Elon Musk is complaining. Elon Musk is complaining because he makes the rockets, the Starship, and it's ready to fly. And then he has to wait for bureaucratic approval of all of his changes. And the government takes so much time that he's faster at producing the rockets than the paper is to move from desk to desk. And so we've had Elon Musk complain about this in the last few days. And here Peter Hag is reporting deeper into this. Yeah, I mean, government bureaucracy. That's why I don't send rockets in space. That's why I've kind of channeled myself into domains of realization where I wouldn't have to ask governmental permission. And it's more intentional than it seems. I mean, there was a time in my life where I was asking for my scientific project. I was applying with a form. Can you fund my scientific project? And I was getting my scientific project approved and apply at the local ethics committee of the university. Here's my project. Can I do it? And I got tired of this shit, man. It's not made for me. It's not asking for permission. It's like, it frustrates me because I consider all other human beings around me, like I see them as chimpanzees. So having to ask permission to chimpanzees is really... So I was bound to become a loner, realizing loner stuff and working in loner, self-employed situations. It was the only thing that would work for me. John Drake says, government runs on 18th century speed and norms. It's insane. Yeah. And, you know, what does the government knows about efficiently sending rockets into space? Nothing. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love. And, yeah, someone had sent a super chat on Entropy 2 days ago, and I missed it. Now, it was a link to a weird video. It was a schizo guy. Look, bro, I'm sorry I missed your super chat, but thank you for the donation. But now he said, go at 3:30 in this video. I have no idea what this guy is talking about. Is this a joke? Is this someone parodying schizos? Psychopolitics.
Endlessly work towards just meaningless goals. Two sides of the same coin there. But what if I told you there was an altcoin? But what if I told you that that altcoin was actually more of the same coin?
Keep it together, Q.
Now, the imperative of the maze of compulsions, addictions, and Wim Hof breathing.
What the fuck is this? Is this a parody of public thinkers? I have no idea. Anyways, the Trump-Harris debate will be in 1 hour from now. So if you're looking for something to entertain yourself tonight, go watch it. I'm sure I will have comments to say about it tomorrow or maybe even tonight on Twitter. Much love, everyone. Sleep well. And I'll see you all tomorrow.